Hello and welcome to the Sustainability Leaders series. I'm Auriel Morrison. Well, as the world transitions to a greener future, demand is increasing for green talent, those with the skills, knowledge and values we need to build a sustainable and resource-efficient future for the planet. The escalating global response to climate change, though, has widened the skills gap. And while green talent in the workforce has grown around 40% in the last 7 years, demand already outstrips supply. Research by the United Nations Environment Programme indicates that skills in science, architecture, planning, agriculture and environmental justice will initially be the highest priority skill sets in the green economy. The United Nations has included higher education within its Sustainable Development Goals, calling for more scholarships as part of its vision for human progress. The National University of Singapore and Singapore Management University have embraced this, joining forces with Equinix to provide sustainability-focused scholarships. The global digital infrastructure company pledging $160,000 to nurture the next generation of leaders with a core expertise in sustainability and greener business model. Well, I'm joined now by Professor Lily Kong, President of the Singapore Management University. Welcome, Professor. A real pleasure to have you with us today.
A very good morning and thank you for having me.
Now, Professor, the UN has talked about the importance of scholarships in the journey towards a greener future. Tell us a little bit more about the Equinix Sustainability Scholarship Program. What will the outcomes be that we can expect?
I think it's wonderful that Equinix has stepped forward to offer these scholarships. And for me, there are both symbolic as well as material benefits that come out of this. Firstly, in symbolic terms, it signals to other businesses the importance of taking a lead in putting the money where the mouth is in supporting the next generation of young people who are interested in sustainability issues. And it's a real signal to other businesses, hopefully, to also follow suit.
What sort of skills will this go towards? What do you see as the key skills that are going to be needed to drive this greener future?
So there are both, in a sense, the curricular knowledge, the domain expertise that can be built, but at the same time, the other kinds of skill sets that are not located in knowledge as such. But first of all, in terms of just getting a grip on the knowledge, this is such a multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary area, and it's absolutely necessary for students to learn a whole range from legal and regulatory frameworks to financial frameworks to the climate science itself, the values and belief systems.
Now, we know that demand for green skills and green knowledge to that factor is already outstripping supply. How long is it going to take us to catch up?
So it's going to be really difficult to gaze into that crystal ball to say how fast we can move and how long it will be before we catch up. But I can say that it is critical for institutions such as mine to really be diving in and not just in the traditional 18 to 24 year old education that we provide to undergraduates, because that's going to take a while as they go through the system to graduate and then to deliver. It is quite as important to intervene in other at other junctures. So we've developed, for example, a master's program with a sustainability track, and that's building on skill sets of graduates already, but giving them a real focus on sustainability. It is also about ensuring that those who are in the workforce already have the opportunity to upskill and reskill with short courses.
Now, Professor, you've talked about this publicly before, but take us through your vision for a true circular economy and how SMU can help make that happen.
So I think that a circular economy needs a radical rethinking and replanning. We are very much familiar with a sort of take, use and throw kind of linear economy. And a circular economy completely, disrupts that. It's not just recycling. It's not just saying at the end of the product life cycle, let's think about what we can use with these products. It's actually embedding this thinking right from the beginning, right at the start when we're actually designing, planning, products, services, and so forth, right? And so that requires a radical rethinking of the economy. What it does entail is that as an educational institution, we can do two things that we are well poised to do. Education, which I've spoken about, so that the young people who are out in the workforce or the existing workforce has an opportunity to rethink with the skills and knowledge that we can provide. But it's also the research that we do and how through our research we can impact, as I said, on different dimensions, because it is not just an engineering solution. It is a legal solution. It's a financing solution. It's a regulatory framework policy solution. And all those dimensions require that research informs how different aspects of the economy can be rethought, business practices, business models.
So how far ahead are we when it comes to business model innovation then, based on what you're saying? Because you do believe that this circularity concept, as we've been talking about, does feed into that kind of innovation.
So I think that there are two dimensions. One is from an economic system perspective, and that requires all the different parts to be moving in tandem. That's going to take some time because not everybody's on board yet. Not all systems are ready to go, but there are movements, and I am optimistic that we will see the outcomes, but that's going to take a little bit longer. What's going to be lower hanging fruit will be the fact that we can actually have the innovative ideas that come through in new startups that are, actually embracing a circular economy concept, so that, these startups are coming up with ideas, new products, new approaches, new business models that actually embed the circular principles right from the beginning. So both need to move in tandem, this, in a sense, more micro enterprise level and the more macroeconomic level, and both need to move at the same time. The macroeconomic is going to take a little bit longer. The microeconomic is moving.
And obviously having a scholarship program like you do is a wonderful way to support these students. Professor Lily Kong, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us about this scholarship program, which you've done in partnership, of course, with Equinix.
Thank you very much.
One of the recipients of the scholarship at Singapore Management University is Shania Sakamto. Shania, welcome. It's great to have you with us today. And of course, congratulations on receiving the scholarship. What does it mean to you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Yes, I'm really thankful for getting the scholarship from Equinix and grateful for my school, the Singapore Management University, for offering this opportunity to me too. It means a lot to me because it reinforces my interest in this space and reinforces the fact that I am on the right path, merging both of my passion in business and also in sustainability to try to make an impact in this world.
So what are the difficulties that you face as a student now, Shania, in terms of making sure that your skills are relevant to tomorrow, because innovation and change is happening so quickly?
Yeah, and I think not only innovation and change is happening very quickly, but with regards to sustainability, a lot of the policies and the standards are still being developed and everything is constantly changing. So as a young person trying to learn, trying to ask people who are more established in the space, you'll realize that they are also constantly learning. So it's also hard to get a definite answer compared to more traditional industry sometimes to really understand what's happening. But I think that's also a good problem, because you are learning with the most experienced people in the field and you're able to carve your own path in some way.
So are you confident your skill set can keep up with this level of innovation, this level of change when it comes to the focus on sustainability?
I think as of now, there's no hard skill that's required, unlike if you were to be a scientist or something. But to excel in this field, you just need to have an open mind, be adaptable, be willing to work with people, as sustainability is a solution. It's an issue that will require many people to work together and a lot of collaboration. So such skills will hopefully put me on the right path.
Now, you've said in our conversation that you're specifically interested in technological innovation. What about that really interests you, and what are you working on at the moment?
Right. So I think this started when I interned at a tech startup that was focused on more sustainable food. And then it brought me into the world of venture capital. And I had the opportunity to intern at a climate tech startup. So I had the chance to look at so many different interesting solutions targeting sustainability from the field of agriculture to construction. And this really opened my eyes and showed me that there are so many ways to address climate change through these innovations, which today may sound really far-fetched, but one day it could be the mainstream, and hopefully it can be the mainstream.
I'm sure there are many out there who agree with you. Shania, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And that wraps it up for this episode of the Sustainability Leaders Series. I'm Aurel Morrison. For more in this special 12-part series, head to apacnetwork.com.